Okay, so we're back to Sefer Shoftim, and of course the Tanakh Shir is always very sponsored very generously by my parents in memory of their respective fathers, both of whose Yahrzeits are coming up. But my maternal grandfather, Dr. Joel Dennis, his Yahrzeit is this week, so I wanted to make special mention of it, especially on Memorial Day weekend. He was an army physician attached to the 1st Infantry Division in Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas, so his neshama should have an aliyah. We stopped at a very opportune point after the 16th chapter of Sefer Shoftim, after the story of Shimshon, which we know was one of the great tragedies of the Jewish people, that Shimshon, who was a leader in the military sense of the term, we actually just read the Haftorah this past week because he was a Nazir, or at least two-thirds of a Nazir, and yet things end up so poorly for Shimshon in the overall sense, because he's always following his own eyes. If you remember that, he sees especially women and he becomes attracted to them, and then the tragedy is that he doesn't follow what Hashem would like him to do. And the pasuk says, "Vayamim ahem ein melech b'Yisrael, ish hayashar be'enav ya'aseh." Right, and Shimshon is the paradigm of that. He's always doing what's good in his own eyes, instead of, as the Torah says in Sefer Dvarim, "Ve'asita hayashar ve'hatov be'enei Hashem Elokecha," that your responsibility is to do what's good in the eyes of God, not in the eyes not in your own eyes, not just to use your own judgment, but one has to shape one's judgment and one's values in light of Torah values. So that really the end of the story of Shimshon is a critical juncture in Sefer Shoftim, and it opens us up to the last five chapters or so. And there's this major debate between Rashi and the Radak as to the chronology of the last five chapters. There are two stories. There's a story of Pesel Micha, and anybody remember the last story in Sefer Shoftim? Just when you think it can't get any worse, what's the last story in Sefer Shoftim? What do we call that? What do we call the story? Everybody, you're on the right track?
Pilegesh
Begiva, right. So it's a story that nearly results in the annihilation of the entire tribe of Binyamin. Okay, that's a very important story. And the chronology of these five chapters, first the two chapters of Pesel Micha that we're going to cover tonight, followed by the three chapters of Pilegesh Begiva, is in question. Rashi maintains, anybody happen to know, that when did these chapters take place? All the way at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. But Shmuel Hanavi, in authoring the book, puts them at the end for literary effect, so that everybody can appreciate just how tragic it was in terms of the time period for the Jewish people. And the way to do that from a literary standpoint is to take these five chapters that demonstrate the complete anarchy, as I titled this year, "All That We Hold Dear Will Become Desecrated," over these five chapters. Pesel Micha is a major part of the story, but Pilegesh Begiva is arguably worse. You have to understand them as a total unit, as I'll explain over the next number of weeks as we finish up Sefer Shoftim in time for the dinner. But what we have here, according to Rashi, is a transmutation of things that occurred really hundreds of years earlier to the end of the Sefer for literary effect. According to the Radak, very fascinating, the Radak tries to make an argument which is much harder to read into the psukim, to be candid, that all this really did occur now. But he still makes the same overall point, that in between the period of Shimshon on the one hand and Shmuel on the other hand, of course, that's the next work, Sefer Shmuel, we'll study it next year, so there was a great gap of leadership. There were no really strong leaders. Yes, there was this figure, Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol, but Eli couldn't even control his own family. We know that the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel is a story of how Eli fails to guide his own children on the right path, so he certainly wasn't providing overall leadership to the Jewish people. Okay, let me frame chapters 17 and 18 in the following way. All that Moshe had built in the course of his lifetime, all that is expressed in the Torah, in particular in Sefer Dvarim, which we've already alluded to tonight, we're going to return to it in just a moment, is undone in these two chapters, quite literally. And I'm going to show that in ways that I think are shocking if you haven't been exposed, or at least not exposed recently to these two chapters, how much of repudiation of the values of Moshe Rabbeinu these two chapters are. So let's begin with an observation that we made the very first Navi Shir that we had, the first year last year when we started Sefer Yehoshua. We pointed out that Yehoshua had the status of a Melech, even though we don't normally call him Yehoshua a Melech. We think about Shaul as the first official Melech, but he had the powers associated with the Melech. The Rambam records that. And Moshe also had the characteristics and features associated with the Melech. As the Pasuk says, Vayivi Shurun Melech, Bita Sefer She'am, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, that he was able to gather the entire Jewish people together and to create unity for the entire Jewish people. Now, Vayivi Shurun Melech is understood by some commentaries to be a reference to Hashem. Rashi understands it that way, the Ramban understands it that way, but others understand that Moshe, at the end of his Osa Bracha, is commenting that one of his achievements as a political leader, Vayivi Shurun Melech, Yishurun, by the way, is the name of the Jewish people that connotes integrity or honesty, we're going to come back to that point, is that he was able, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, to hold the Jewish people together. Now, we've already spoken at great length throughout Sefer Shoftim about the fragmentation of the Jewish people, and in particular, the fragmentation, remember, let's say, with Shiras Devorah, when you have the Jewish people being attacked and certain tribes don't want to get involved, and we had the civil war between Ephraim and Menashe along these lines during the time of Yiftach. We had the recriminations during the period of Gidon, etc. So, you know, we know that Sefer Shoftim was a time of fragmentation, and it was due to the absence of a king. There was no king to hold things together. Vayivi Shurun Melech, Bita Sefer Hashayam Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. In the absence of a king, there is fragmentation. One other pasuk about Moshe, just to frame, before we jump into the text of chapter 17 and 18, I'm going to read the pasuk, and somebody is going to tell me what the biblical context is. The context is critical. Vayichar leMoshe ma'od. And Moshe becomes very angry. This is Moshe, the same Moshe about whom it said, Vayish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam. Vayichar leMoshe ma'od. He's very angry. Vayomer el Hashem, al teifen al minchatam, accept not their korban. Lo chamor echad mehem nasati, I didn't take even a single donkey. Velo hareoti et echad mehem, and I didn't cause evil to any of them. In other words, I acted with total integrity as a leader. I never used my position to my own material or financial advantage. Lo chamor echad mehem nasati, even though I could have. I could have made all kinds of claims about why I need these things, I'm important, you know, I need a Mercedes, a Lamborghini, whatever it is, it's Kavod HaMelech. None of that. What's the context here? Who remembers? What's Moshe talking about?
Korach.
Excellent. The Adas Korach, okay? So Moshe says to God, don't listen to them, right? Because what was the claim of Korach and his followers? That Moshe and Aharon had done what?
Had
usurped power. Exactly, Sandy. Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, they said, you umadua titnasua kahal Hashem, that you're usurpers of power. You've done it for your own glory. Moshe says, I never did anything for myself. I never benefited even in the most minuscule way. And we're going to see the undoing of all that was dear and all that was sacred to Moshe. What he thought perhaps his legacy was, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, the legacy of Lo Chamor Achad Mehem Nasati. Let's jump right into the text. Pesel Micha, the penultimate story, takes two chapters, 17 and 18 of Shoftim. We'll see it tonight, and then we'll spend the next few weeks developing Pilegesh Begiva, a three-chapter story, needs very careful treatment. Vayhi ish mehar Ephraim ushmo Michayahu. His name was Micha. Vayomer li'imo. The story starts off on a shocking note. He says to his own mother, Elef u'meya ha'kesef ha'shugu kachlach, Mom, you know those 1,100 silver pieces that went missing. You've been looking for them. You've been beside yourself. The at alit, and you've taken an oath or a curse. Right? Where do we have this in last week's parsha? This language of Allah, that the sota woman will become Allah, bekerav amah, she'll become a source of cursing and ignominy amongst the Jewish people. V'gam amart ve'oznai. And you've been talking to me about it this entire time, about what happened to my precious jewelry, what happened to my money. He says, oh, by the way, Mom, I'm the one who stole it from you. The story opens up with this man named Micha. And not only is he a thief, but who does he steal from? His own mother, Eva. What could we say about such a thing? All that we hold dear. Right? People in the mafia, they steal from each other. They steal from strangers. Steal from their own mother? Of course not. Certain basic values, you don't steal from your own mother. So he says, Mother, but a huge sum of money, I stole it from you. And what's her response? Vatomer Imo, Baruch B'ni L'Hashem, oh, such nachas I have, you're admitting to it. I mean, I'm talking about a society that's confused, that's disoriented. We once had a teacher in high school, he said that he and his friend, their moms took them to the beach respectively, and they wandered off. They were about 5, 6 years old. And finally, the two respective mothers, they found them. He and his friend, they both were very prominent rabbis, so that made the story funnier. I'll obscure the names for now. She says, when my mother found me, you know, she slapped me across the face and said, don't you ever wander off again. And then, you know, my friend's mother, she hugged him and said, honey, I'm so glad, you know, we're reunited. And then he said, it explains a lot if you think about how, you know, my life turns out. But in any event, Baruch B'ni L'Hashem, right? Well, wonderful, you're returning. And not only that, but since you had such high moral standards so that you admitted that you stole from me, I have to give you a reward. It writes you a mitzvah note. So what am I going to do? Vayashiv es elef umeha kesef limo. So he says, I'm going to give it back to you, the 1,100 silver pieces. Vatomer imo hakdeshik dashtis hakesef l'Hashem yadi livni. I'm going to, she takes God's name and she says, I've already consecrated this money to give to you. Lasot pesa l'masecha. We should make an idol with it. Ve'ata shivenu lach. So I'm going to give it back to you, the very money that you stole from me. And what are we going to make? A pesel u'masecha. We're going to make a graven image. So if it wasn't enough that you have people stealing from their own mothers, and the mothers that are saying, oh, it's so wonderful, it's a wonderful thing, you're returning the money you stole from me, a deeply confused society, right? So then what are they going to do together? They're going to build an idol with it. They say, what more sanctified, consecrated purpose could we have than to build an idol with the money that you stole from your own mother? Okay. Vayashem es hakesef limo, and he says, no, Mom, I insist on giving the money back to you. You know, I'm really here to do the right thing. Vatikach imo matayim kesef. She takes 200 of the 1,100 silver pieces, and she hires a great artisan, not at the level of Herb Stern, but okay, not everybody can have such people in their community. And she gives it to the tzareif. The tzareif is the one who purifies and fashions the molten metal. And with the 900 other pieces of silver, so he makes a silver image. And now he's got a pesel. So we know that this guy is into money, and he's probably thinking to himself, okay, now I've got a pesel. We can hang up a sign outside that says, you know, come stop by Micha's house, see the pesel. You know, and for a mere 1999, we'll give you a little postcard that says, I saw the pesel of Micha's. He's already thinking in terms of business interests. So he opens up a shtibel. Now that he has the pesel there, you know, he's got all it takes. So he opens up a little shtibel that he calls his own little house of God. Vayas ephod, and since he already has the God is there, so he needs just a few accessories, and all of a sudden we'll have a shul. The young Israel of Micha, Vayas Ephod, and so he makes an Ephod, which we know is one of the clothes that the Kohen Gadol wears, Utrafim, and these kind of human representations, other forms of idols, Vayimaleas Yad Achad Mibana, Vayilo the Kohen. And he needs a rabbi. So what does he do? So he gets one of his kids to serve as the rabbi, except not really as the rabbi, but as the Kohen. So Micha, any indication that he's a Kohen? No. What do we know from the text? Where's he from? He's from Ephraim. Okay, so small detail. So he's not a Kohen. His son isn't a Kohen. So his son will have to be a Kohen. small detail, it's not really God, it's an idol. Okay, so don't, get so caught up in the minutia of these things. Okay, it's from stolen money from his mother. Okay, but, you know, we shouldn't let that, you know, he's trying to make a religious service out of this. Okay. It's just, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to do full justice to what it's the confusion, the moral degradation. And then the text says, right, Shmuel HaNavi wrote it in there, Bayamim ha'heim e'melech v'Yisrael, ish ha'yashar ben aviyasa. Everybody did what they thought was right. When everybody's doing what they thought is right, you have a lot of confused people out there. Right? You have people like Micha who think that he can make his own kohanim and make his own gods and steal from his mother. You know, and his mother is just about as confused as he is. And it's a very deeply troubled, perverse, degraded society, all captured by the expression Ein Melech v'Yisrael. So, as opposed to Vayhi v'Yishuv Melech Yachad Shivtei Yisrael, when everybody's going to act very much in accordance with their own standards, no matter how low those standards are. So at the same time as this is going on, this is now in the Ephraim region, so north of Yerushalayim, north of the Binyamin region, for those familiar, so around where modern-day Shiloh is and Eli, if you know that part of the Shomron. Vahinar, there was a young teenager, min Beis Lechem, Yehuda, min Shpachas, Yehuda, behu Levi, behu Garsha. So it's a little confusing. Is he from Yehuda? Is he from Levi? So the two opinions of the Gemara, Bava Basra and Koftes, one of them says the guy's name was Levi, but he's really from Yehuda. But the simple reading of the pshat of the story is that he was actually from Shevet Levi. His mother was from Yehuda. That's the reading that we're going to go with because it helps this story. And he's a young man. He's trying to find himself in society, sort of wandering around. And he says, I'm leaving and I'm going to be, you know, a vagabond. You know, he's going to travel and see the world. So he says, I'll spend a week here, a week there. You know, he's got no direction in life either. So he makes his way. He doesn't know he's come to the Avodah Zarah Shtibul. He just figures, you know, this is a hostel like any other youth hostel that I've been in. And, you know, tomorrow we're going to climb Kilimanjaro and then we'll move on. And we'll keep on, you know, backpacking through, you know, ancient Israel as it is. And all of a sudden, you know, you got Micha and his Avodah Zarah Shtibul. And you got this wandering, lost soul from the southern part of Israel, from Eretz Yehuda. Vayomer lo Micha. So Micha says to him, Me'ayin Tabo, where are you from? So he explains, Vayomer lav Levi Anochi. So Levi, right, they didn't have any tribal area. They had just 48 cities scattered all around Israel. So he says, Levi Anochi, mi Beis Lechem Yuta. And I was stationed in Beit Lechem, where there were other Levim. Ve'anochi holeich lagor ba'asher emtza. And I'm part of Eva's here with the San Francisco hat. So he says, I'm from San Francisco. I'm looking to make my way in the world. I've got no firm plans, no firm direction. V'anochi holeich magur abba sheremsa. So Micha says, you're just the man I've been looking for. This is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. You have no plans. You have no direction. And I've got this great Avodah Zarah Shtibul. The only problem is, you know, we've kind of been faking it because we didn't have a Kohen here. You know, we're from Shevet Ephraim. And it's true, you're not exactly a Kohen, but you are you're a Levi. So, you know, it's close enough. So, what are we going to do? We're going to install you as the new, you'll be the new rabbi in the Shtibul. You're going to be the Kohen. He's got a deal. Vayomer lo Micha shvaim adi ve'yeli la'av ulekohei. It's interesting. He calls him a father. The commentaries say that provide sort of religious instruction. Ve'anochi etein lecha aseret kesef layamim. I'll make it worth your while. I've got all this money. Now, when you steal from your own mother, there's always money available. Okay? Ve'erech ve'gadim. I'll give you fancy clothes. Ve'mechiatecha. So the Levi says it's a great deal. I just expected to find a place to spend the night. And all of a sudden, they've promoted me from a Levi to a Kohen. I get the first Aliyah now, and I'm also going to get a new set of clothes, and I get now a salary. So I've made it in life. Now, what's really interesting about this, if you just pause for a second, the same guy who's stealing from his own mother, what's he doing right now? Who's he kicking out of the job? his own son. Right? So one thing you can't accuse Micha of is nepotism, right? That's one thing you can't accuse him of. He steals from his own mom, so he's not playing any favorites in that direction. He's also not showing any favoritism to his own son, right? As soon as the Levi shows up, his son's got to go now back out to college or find a job or something. He can't continue going on this way, pretending to be a Kohen for the rest of his life. Okay, so Vayoel HaLevi LaSheves Es HaIsh. So the Levi, Vayoel, it's interesting. He desired, Vayoel is a very interesting word. We'll come back to that. Vayhi Anar Lo Kechad Mibanav. And he treated him like he was one of his own sons. I know that's a good thing or a bad thing, the way that he treats his own sons, but, you know, no worse. So he pretended that he was a Kohen. So Micha says the following. You gotta love Micha. So Micha says to himself, and you can't read this line without thinking Shmuel as he's writing it, you know, Beruach HaKodesh in prophetic inspiration, how pathetic this line is to the point of humorous. So Micha says, man, I really know now that God is going to bless me. Let's read this pasuk and then we can all have a good laugh together. Vayomer Micha, Ataya Dati. Now I know for sure ki etiv Hashem li. I didn't know it before, but now I know that God will be good to me ki hayali halevi lekohen, because He has sent me this Levi to be my Kohen. He's looking for a sign. He says, I know it. God sent this vagabond Levi along the way. All it took for me was to promote him to become a Kohen, and I know this is, God has shown his countenance upon me. Now I know things are going to be good for me. Of course, they're not going to be, but the capacity here, in all seriousness, for self-delusion, that he imagines that he's created a religious structure. It's an idol. Money stolen from his mother, a phony Kohen, fired his own son, and he imagines he's created this kind of a religious structure. And not only that, but he says, now I know that God is going to be good to me and take care of me because He sent me this Levi to be a Kohen. But he really believes it. That's the sad part, is that he believes it's true. Now this structure, there's only one other pasuk in Tanakh, Vayoel blank LaSheves Es HaIsh. Where's that pasuk? Vayoel blank LaSheves Es HaIsh. Bang, there you go. Vayoel Moshe LaSheves Es HaIsh, Vayitein Et Tziporah B'Tolu Moshe. That Moshe had also been wandering. Right? He left Egypt, he wandered, according to Ramban, all the ancient Near East. And he came finally to this religious figure's house. He was a Kohen Midyan, but he was also kind of an exploring soul. We know that the rabbinic tradition is that Yitro, who says, Ataya dati ki gadol Hashem mikol ha-Elohim, he knows that God is the one true God. And Chazal point out, yeah, because he knew all of them. He had tried every Avodah Zarah in the world. He was a great experimenter when it came to Avodah Zarah. So the Navi is signaling to us that the only way to understand this story is to understand the story of Moshe. Now, the big reveal is coming at the end, just how deeply this is connected to Moshe. But we've already seen in a number of respects, right, how this is a deviation or a corruption of the values of Moshe. First of all, the sense of total fragmentation, Isha Yashar Ve'Nav Yaseh, as opposed to Moshe's ability, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, number one. Number two, Moshe lo chamor achad mehem nasati, that Moshe never used his position to gain any kind of financial advantage. And why does this Levi, Moshe was a Levi, why does this Levi take the position? What was in it for him? It was money, right? From the very beginning it was about money, right? What did Micha say to him? I'm going to give you a salary, you get the fancy clothes, you're going to get a room and board. It's going to be great for you. The whole thing is predicated on financial advantage. Now we go to chapter 18. So we're here in the Shtibel Tavodah Zarah, called the Beis Micha. He's got his Pesel. He's got his Kohen. His Kohen has got these fake priestly garments. Everything is set up. And a small group of five men from from the tribe of Dan, passing from the southwestern coast of Israel, right around where the Gaza Strip would be today. And they're on a reconnaissance mission to the northeast part of Israel. Anybody remember a little bit? What's Dan? Why is Shevet Dan sending a team of reconnaissance up to the northeastern part of Israel? Or even beyond maybe the actual borders at the time? What did we say in Sefer Yehoshua? That Shevet Dan was not fully able to subdue the indigenous population in the region in the southwest. So they were looking not to necessarily steal land from other tribes, but they were looking to expand the borders to conquer areas in the northeast of Israel. So if you're traveling southwest to northeast from Dan, you cross through the Shomron, through Samaria. And where do you think these five guys are going to end up finding themselves? The house of Micha. Okay, it's all happening there. So that's where the 18th chapter picks up. But again, Shmuel HaNavi stuck the pasuk in right in our face so we couldn't miss it again. Bayamim ahem ein melech v'Yisrael, uvayamim ahem shevet adanim bevakesh lo nachal al ha-sheves, ki lo nafla lo ad ha-yom ha-hu b'toch shevtei Yisrael b'nachala. They hadn't been fully able to settle their nachala. There was no melech v'Yisrael. So it wasn't a situation of yachad shevtei Yisrael. What was it a situation of? Every tribe for himself, every man for himself. So the tribe of Dan, they're looking to capture some extra territory. So the story goes like this. So they take five warrior-like men. Why do those words sound familiar? Sara ve'eshta'ol. Shimshon, when Shimshon begins to have divine prophecy, it says, V'atacha ruach Hashem lefa'amo b'machane Dan, bein sara uvein Eshta'ol. So right from that area where Shimshon had come from, L'ragel ta'aret to l'chakra v'yumra lehem v'chu chikru ta'aret. We're going to go investigate the land. V'yavo ha'arifrayim at beit micha v'yalinu sham. So they get up the next morning. There's going to be shachris, right? So, I don't know. You know, these guys, five guys, they're singing. They're making half a minion. You're already jealous. Five guys traveling from Dan. They'd say, when are our travelers going to come? No, don't worry about it. So he's got the whole thing figured out. So Hema in base Micha, Vehema Hikiru is Kol Hanar Halevi. What does it literally mean? The words. Just Vehema Hikiru is Kol Hanar Halevi. Now the commentaries differ as to how to interpret this, but what does it actually literally mean? My mother's correct. They recognized his voice. So how would they possibly have recognized his voice? The text doesn't explain it, but anybody want to theorize? How would they possibly have recognized his voice, Eva?
The city that he was in was they one of their cities.
Okay, so maybe in all of his travels it says, like, we're about sure he saw that he had made his way around. What's to say that he hadn't made his way through Dan? They say, hey, we know that guy. What's he doing here in Ephraim? And when we knew him, he was like, in the band. And now he's like a fake Cohen. Like, how did all this happen? They recognize the guy. Vayasurusham. So they go in, they see, he's doing this whole made up priestly service. So Vayomulo, me heviacha halom. Who brought you to this place? Man, we remember you. What are you doing here? That word, the Gemara picks up on this. Me heviacha halom. Where do we have that structure? That word halom is a very laden term. Al tikrav halom. Shal nalacha me'al raglacha ki amakom asher atal meid alav admat kodeshu. It's the echoes of Moshe. Okay? So this is the opposite. This is the bizarro Moshe world. It's not really a sacred place. It's a profane place. But they're pretending it's a sacred place. So ma'ata usab hazeo malachafo. So vayomer alehem. So he tells them the story. He says, yeah, I remember you guys too. When I was traveling with the band, Chazev Chazah, Salimicha, and he explains, he doesn't try to cover it up. He doesn't say, oh, that's not me that you remember, you're remembering some other guy, I've been a priest my whole life. So he says, Vayiskareini, he hired me, he's paying me, $300,000 a year, I've got all these outfits, I've got good food. Vayhilo Lachoin, and he promoted me to be a Kohen. I used to, you remember me back when I was a Levi. Now I'm a Kohen, I made it big. I hit it really big. So Vayomulo, so they say to him, instead of saying, what a farce. what are you doing? Instead of reacting that way, they say, Yasher Koach! Mazel Tov! You've become a Kohen! You've become a Kohen, Tavodah Zarah. So Vayomer Lo, so they say, well, once you're ready a Kohen and you're a man of God, we see what a strong religious figure that you've become. So Sha'al Nav Elohim, ask God, V'neida'a HaTatzliach Darkenu, are we going to be successful in this conquest mission that we're about to go on, right there on the reconnaissance? Asher Anachnu Olchim Alah. So he answers with pride, this, you know, phony Kohen. So he says, Vayomer Lahem HaKohen, Lechu L'Shalom, go in peace. Nocha Hashem Darkechem Asher Tilchuva, your way is clear before God. He gives them a ringing endorsement. And you know, he had it on very good authority. You know, he says, once I'm ready being paid, you know, I might as well give the answer that they're looking for. It's a you know, a fee-for-service kind of an arrangement here in Beis Micha. Okay, so, anyway, the Navi continues on. Enough to see all the psukim inside. But basically, these five guys go, and they find this area called Laish, otherwise known as Leshem, way up, just over the northeast boundary of Israel, into the Golan, into the Syria region, and they see, you know, it's a whole big mess over there. They got Assad, they've got some ISIS, they've got the Iranians, they got the whole thing. But they like it, and they feel that they can take the area. The five guys go back to Dan, and they say, yeah, there's this great city up there, we're going to conquer it, we'll expand our portion, that's the plan. And so Dan goes, now with an army of 600 men, and they bring their children and their families as well, because they're very confident in a victory. And these 600 men from the tribe of Dan are going to now go and expand Dan's region. By the way, it's not the first time it's done, because if you recall, Shevet Menasheh had portions on both sides of the River Jordan. They had the Trans-Jordan, they had their own portion in the land of Israel proper. So Dan says, you know, we'll keep our Mediterranean portion on the south and western coast. That will be our summer portion. Then we'll have our northeast portion, a little bit of skiing in the Hermon, and we'll be great. So these 600 men, this war party, they go, and they figure, which way should we go? We'll go up the way that these five guys went, and we'll also make a stopover, guess where? In our favorite shtiebel in Beis Micha, okay? The Jewish center. We should never change our name to Beis Micha. Okay, so the Navi says, Vayalu chamesha sanashim ochim l'ragel asaretz ba'ushama. So these five guys, they lead the 600, and they say, you know, come to think of it, you know, given that we're founding a whole new tribal portion, we're going to need to have, you know, some kind of a religious center of our own. So, and we're going to need a religious leader. So what should we do? Let's go. Yeah, let's go get the Levi. I mean the Kohen. And let's go get the Pesel. And we'll take it with us. So that's exactly what they do. So they take the idol, v'asa ephod, and the priestly garment, v'asa trafim, v'asa masecha. They take it all. V'akohen itzav pesach hashar, v'sheish me'asa isha chagor kli ha'melchama. So the Kohen slash Levi young man comes out and he sees that there are 600 guys standing there with swords and he realizes, okay, I guess the game is up. And ve'ela ba'u beis micha v'ikhu es pesel ephod v'es ephimet v'meichayif ma'asicha v'yom ra'alem ha'kohen. So the Kohen says to them, hey guys, ma'atem osim, you just can't steal things. You can't steal things. And, you know, ironic, right? Beis Micha was starting based on stealing from your own mother and pretending to be a Kohen when you're not. He says, hey, wait a minute, what about justice? You guys just can't walk in here and steal the idol. And, you know, what's going on? So they say to him, the five guys, Vayomer lo hacharesh, which is a nice way of saying be quiet. Okay, substitute other expression. Sim yad chal picha, put your hand over your mouth. Don't say, al tomar debar. Velechi manu, and you'll come with us. And you'll be a father and a priest for us, meaning that you'll be our religious authority. What, you want to be in this your little shtiebel here, Beis Micha, your whole life? You come with us, you'll be the chief rabbi of the tribe of Dan. What's better? Atova yescha kohen lebeis yishachad, oa yescha kohen leshevet lemishpacha b'Yisrael. What, you want to work for the little shtiebel Micha your whole life, or you want to be the chief rabbi of Shevet Dan? So going back to his deep moral fiber, you know, the bedrock that's within him, the Kohen thinks it over and says, you know, given that I have a standard of integrity, you know, beyond reproach, and you know, my whole life I've been a Kohen for hire, you know, it seems only consistent with my moral compass that I should go with them, right? I've done this my whole life. They're prepared to raise my salary even more. So the pasuk says, Vayitav lev hakohen, his heart was gladdened at the offer. Vayikachas ha'efod v'satrafim v'satpesel v'yavo v'kerev ha'am, and he marches right amidst the people, and he's got his idol that he's stolen from Micha, who stole from his mother, etc. Heima herchiku mibeis Micha, so they're just marching off with all of Micha's stuff, his pride and joy. V'anashim asher v'batim asherim beis Micha nizaku. And the people from Har Ephraim, they gather together and they say, wait a minute, a terrible injustice has been done. Our idol has been stolen. And our Kohen has been stolen. He's not a Kohen, but still, our fake Kohen has been stolen. It's an outrage. It's an injustice. Vayad biku es b'nei Dan, and they chase them down. Vayikrul beis Dan, vayasabu p'neihem, vayom v'lamicha, ma'alecha, kinizakt, and they say, you've betrayed us, the treachery. How could you do this to us? You've left us jilted and gone with Shevet Dan as they move to the northeast. Vayomer es Elohai, and Micha says with the plaintive cry, es Elohai asher asisi, the very God that I made with my own hands. Is that any irony? Lekachtem, you took it from me. And my Kohen. My Kohen. Remember, he said before, now I know that God will do good for me because he sent me the Levi to be my Kohen. You took my Kohen also to add insult to injury. How could you have done this? They say to him, Al tashma kolcha, don't say a word. Imanu penif guvachem anashimari nefesh. Basically, say another word and we're going to kill you. And we're going to kill everybody in your family too. In other words, in our society, might makes right. Now, they don't know that he stole the whole thing from his mother, right? But this kind of chaos and moral turpitude, it all comes back in the end. So Bnei Dan literally go north. Vayifen vayeshevel vayashevel beitel, he goes south. So talk about the opposite of Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. You really have the tribes stealing from each other and plundering each other, and the Levi is not a Kohen, the Kohen is not a Levi. Everything has fallen apart, and the coin of the realm is the coin. It's the coin. It's money, self advancement, and any sense of integrity or halachic standards have completely disappeared. And the parak finishes after, indeed, Dan successfully conquers the city of Laish, and they call it Dan. Vayakimu lehem b'nei Dan es ha-pesel. And now comes the big reveal. Who was this Levi? V'yehonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe. Hu vanav ayu kohanim l'shemet adani ad hayom kolos ha-aretz. Vayakimu lehem es pesel micha asher asah. When the real house of God was in Shiloh, the actual Mishkan, so all that time Dan had their own little house of worship up there in the northeast, under the auspices of the Kohanim, in quotation marks, of Yehonasan ben Gershon ben Menashe. Who is this person? Who is this Levi? What does it sound like this person is? Yehonasan ben Gershon, ben Menashe, Halevi. Of course, our rabbis tell us that it's not really Menashe. The rabbis note that Shmuel Hanavi, to protect the honor and the dignity of somebody whose name is very similar, added in one letter. Who is this? This is Moshe's grandson. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. The man of Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. The man, Lo Chamor Achad Mehem Nasati. Not one donkey did he take. his grandson. No halachic standards, no personal standards, no ethics, sense of decency. He goes to the highest bidder, wanders around. Vayoel Halevi Lasheves Esayish. Mi heviacha halom. Shmuel was hinting the whole time. This is the story of Moshe, but the story disintegrated. Moshe's own grandson. This is why Rashi's approach makes a lot of sense chronologically. This happened at the very beginning of the period of the Shoah. How quickly can things fall apart? His own grandson. A Kohen for hire. A total fraud. Total phony. Vayoel Halevi Lashev Esesayish, because the price was wrong.
How do the commentaries explain this?
How this could have happened? It's a very fragile thing. Morality is a very fragile thing. You can have somebody as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but without the proper leadership structure. Everything fell apart. Ava.
Moshe was a wonderful leader. He was not a good father.
He was not involved as a father. He was not, you know, we don't have him talking to his children, Gershom and Eliezer, even once. Even once in the entire Torah. Now again, does that mean that he was advocating Avodah Zarah? Chas v'shalom. Certainly not. Does it mean it's not shocking? It certainly is shocking. But Shmuel Hanavi saved this as the punchline of Sefer Shoftim. You want to know how far things can fall? It's Moshe's own family. And all the language is suggested. And all of the integrity and all the standards of Moshe. All that is forgotten. During that time, by Yamim Ahim in Melech B'Yisrael, when there was no great leader, there was no Moshe, Ish Hayashar Ben Av Yasa. What did Moshe tell the Jewish people? V'asisa Hayashar V'atov Ben Hashem Elkecha. Stay true to the Torah. Stay true to those values. If not, it's every man for himself. And what can you have? People stealing from their mothers. Mothers not even setting that standard where the child returns it. All the child is the Gadol Hador. He's one of the 36 great tzaddikim because he returned the money that he stole. So we'll make a pestle out of it. Aveira goreres aveira, sins causing more sins. And the fragmentation of the Jewish people. Dan has no problem marching in and just plundering everything and moving on in. Everything has disintegrated. And the story of Pesel Micha. But it's only the penultimate story. Because the final three chapters, and we'll start discussing them next week, chapters 19, 20, and 21. 19, 20, and 21.